So we were in a worship meeting on Tuesday. That's when worship meetings happen at First Methodist Houston, because it says in Leviticus, worship meetings shall happen on Tuesday. It does not say that. But our source crew, they do the contemporary worship services, had a really cool idea. And what this is a thing called Mentimeter. So I need you to pull out your phone, go to your browser, and enter the website menti.com. We need some instructions here on the screen. menti.com is where you want to be. And then there should be a way for you to enter a code. When you see that, enter 1274-127418. And we're gonna ask a series of questions. You're gonna be prompted on your phone to respond, and what this is gonna do is show us the results of the responses in real time. By the way, we have the IP addresses your phone uses to access the internet, and we will be tracing all of your answers, and Ann Spears will be calling you this afternoon. Just kidding. We have no idea who responds in what way. But, you know, Jesus is talking about hypocrites, and we don't want to be one. So we thought we would ask some questions just to see how we're doing at First Methodist Houston as far as each of us doing some of the things Jesus asked us to do. So we're on the website, menti.com. You have, or I'm about to enter our code, 127418. I would also say that if you're watching us online or on Facebook or on YouTube, you can do this with us. So go to the website, menti.com, and enter the code 127418, and then hit submit, and then you should see a prompt for the first question. Our media guys will drive the questions for us. There are eight, and we'll have the chance to respond. So if you're not there by now, pass your phone to somebody younger than you, you know, so they can get you out of the wilderness that you're in. You know, man, maybe we need to offer a class on how to use your smartphone in addition to Bible basics, just, you know, how to use that. Probably is great a need among any. So anyway, have I given us enough time? Okay, so let's go to the website, and let's advance us to the first question. I believe God is for everyone. You'll see agree, somewhat disagree, or disagree, and then you hit submit. And well, apparently we're reaching our demographic because somebody disagrees. That's good. We're glad you're here. But I'm going to hit agree, and then there we go. And what you'll see is the results are calculated in real time, and the number at the lower right-hand corner is the number of responses. So we've got 181 people, 93% of us agree God is for everyone, 4% of us somewhat agree, 1% somewhat disagree, and 2% disagree. Okay, so we're firmly on the agree side as First Methodist Houston. Let's see what happens as the questions go a little further. So question number two. Here we go. People who follow God's rules are better than those who do not. People who follow God's rules are better than those who do not. True, false, unsure. So about 112, 120 people responding. You know, this is a tough question because as Christians, we know we're sinners. Amen? Amen. We need the forgiveness Jesus offers. But at the same time, if we follow the rules, it should make us better. Right? John Wesley, founder of the United Methodist Church, emphasized heavenly the doctrine of Christian perfection, meaning that as we follow Christ, we should be morally changed. So as you enter the question, depending on where you landed, you might think about the other side. People who do not follow God's rules, or people who follow God's rules, are better than those who do not. I'm going to take the minority position and say true. I answered false at the 9 o'clock service. All right, number three, let's go. I choose to have meals with people who have different faith or morals than me. Huh. I choose to have meals with people who have different faith or morals than me. Christianity is a table faith. We're going to celebrate that this morning together. And just depending on how you answered it, you might again challenge yourself to see if there'd be a way for you to engage in that. Of course, I like to cook, so this is a little bit easier for me. And Deborah and I have done this quite regularly over the years, and it's been one of the blessings that we have. We had to downsize to an apartment, or got the opportunity to downsize, shall we say. And the largest thing in our apartment, which is 1,200 square feet, is our dining room table, which takes up 1,100 square feet of the 12. Yeah. Well, this is interesting to me, because if you just think of the life of Jesus, regardless of how you answered the question, if you think of the life of Jesus, Jesus had meals with people very different than him all the time. I mean, it was scandalous who he ate with. And so if you find yourself kind of saying, you know, occasionally, or if I happen to think about it, I would push you a little bit and say, this is one of the greatest ways, I think, that we could really just spread the gospel in one of the simplest ways, too, and that everybody has to eat. And if we show that we are a hospitable people, and not because we're preaching at folks or just have some agenda, but just get to know people, I'm always amazed at how the Lord can use that. So something to think about maybe as we go forward, because this would be something that Jesus did all the time. All right, let's go on to the next one. See how we're doing here. I try to discover the needs of non-Christians rather than waiting for them to come to me. I try to discover the needs of non-Christians rather than waiting for them to come to me. Yes, sometimes. Yes, always. No, I wait for them to come to me. And so sometimes is taking the day, at least thus far, and I would say probably for most of us in the church, that's right. The yes always people, these are the Kristen Jones fanatics here at First Methodist Houston, right? Because she's the one they're always called. But yeah, well again, it's a challenge for us in that you know, Jesus obviously went to great lengths to understand the needs of others and provided for them. And so, again, a challenge to us is to say how we're actually walking this walk, but we've got about 64 in sometimes, 13% in yes, always, and then 23% of us. John Wesley called people who were still in the church but not quite doing it backsliders, and he actually had a small group for them. And so, you know, if you found yourself consistently backsliding, let us know, and we'll start a small group just for you reprobates as you're trying to do better. No. All right, let's go one more. It's not my responsibility to help people who don't help themselves. It's not my responsibility to help people who won't help themselves. That's a good question. It's my responsibility to help people, or it's not my responsibility, to help people who won't help themselves. This gets us thinking about grace. We're holding pretty consistent here, 85%, 86% false. It's not my responsibility to help people who won't help themselves. Again, I think you can make a case either way, but it's, you know, one of the ways I think about grace is where God shows us what we did not deserve and could never earn and yet gives anyway. And so as we think about that, that shapes our answer of the question. Let's go one more. We're holding strong there, about 84% on that, almost 200 responses. That's great. Thanks for playing along. And let's go to the next one. Just a few more. I don't talk about my sins or struggles. That's between me and God. True? False? What struggles? If you answer that one, we have therapists at First Methodist Houston. We would love to introduce you. I don't talk about my sins or struggles. That's between me and God. Again, John Wesley put it this way. He said, as worshipers, we need shoulder-to-shoulder time. That's our, as Christians, we need shoulder-to-shoulder time. That's worship. We need face-to-face time. That's our small group or Sunday school class. And then we need friends who are our heart-to-heart folks, those three or four people who we just trust with everything we've got, and they trust us the same. And as we go through the fall, if there's one of those kind of categories that you're missing, the shoulder-to-shoulder worship, the face-to-face Sunday school or small group, or the heart-to-heart, those real folks, there are going to be opportunities before you as we move into this fall to build those relationships. And if you are intentional about it, the Lord will help us. I don't talk about my sins or struggles. That's between me and God. Again, a good chunk of true, just because I think we're hesitant to really share what's going on. That's a barrier we have to break down. And then a lot of us, especially I think the more we're in the Christian life, understand how essential that is. And then 2% of us, we will be reaching out to. Let's go one more. What word comes to mind when you think of how Jesus treated sinners? And this is going to paint a word picture for us, no numbers, so you can enter any word you choose. What word comes to mind when you think of how Jesus treated sinners? And a word graph will come up. Love popped up first on both campuses this morning, but we're showing some theological sophistication here. Forgiveness, merciful, benevolence, equal, accepting, unconditional love. Lots of good ones there. It's good. It's kind of neat to see all the words that we use to think about Jesus. And if you find a word that's unfamiliar to you, maybe that's a side of Christ that you can get to know. Good. Good. Let's go to the next one. Yes, here's the Source crew offering their contemporary take on this. What emoji represents your honest feelings about the church in America? Are you in love with it? Which nobody is so far. There we go, we have one. Snoozing, angry, somewhat joyful, or you think they're just out for money? Number five. What emoji do you think represents Christianity in America today? And there you go. Well, as this come in, why are we doing this? And again, just to think about just kind of where we are as a congregation as things come in. That's good. We'll let those go for just a few more seconds. Kind of across the board, a little bit of everything on that one. And let's go one more. Again, this is going to paint a word picture for us. What do you admire about Jesus? And this is our last question. So there should be a blank on your screen for you to enter a word and just submit it. What do you think about Jesus? Andy Nixon smells. That's funny. Our youth here are at the service today. See, acceptance, unconditional love, everything, his forgiveness. He was stronger than I could ever think. Compassion, strength, love. He had dope sandals. That's the one of the day. Here we go. We'll let those come in again. So answer this for me. In our scripture today, Jesus is he's severely criticizing religious hypocrites, those who sit on Moses' seat. In Judaism, if you are seated, sitting down in a service, that is the position of authority. Moses sat from the congregation, so a rabbi would sit and teach. And so those who seated, Jesus says a stern word for them. The stern word is not what they are saying. There's what the things that they are saying is fine. The law of God, the things that God would have us do, the Ten Commandments, these are good rules for us. Where Jesus was upset was that he didn't find people in his day, the leaders especially, doing them. They did not practice what they preach. And so what is the difference for us between a sinner, because Jesus sets high standards for us, and we are going to fall short. We started our service with a prayer of confession in the sense that we know that we have not lived up to the standards that Christ sets for us, either today or this week or just whatever. But what's the difference between that, just being sinful, and being a hypocrite? What's the distinction? And I don't know. It's Deborah and I we've moved downtown, live in an apartment, and one of the things our apartment has are these Peloton spin bikes. Do y'all know these things? And they're really instruments of torture, is what they are. But you get on them, and they're connected to the internet, and you can either watch rides, or you can actually, with their studio in New York, just participate in real time with a cycling spin class in New York City. It's really kind of fun. And so we've started doing this. And I was on one the other day, and a spin instructor is saying things of encouragement to me. And then he said this. He said, next time you see chips and queso, you're not going to want chips and queso. And I thought about that. And he said, next time you see guacamole, you're not going to want to eat that because there's a new you. And if you want the new you, this is exactly what he said. He would have made a brilliant preacher if God had called him that way. He said, if you want the result, you've got to commit to the life, right? If you want the result, you got to commit to the life. Well, I'm sitting there, and then I'm having a theological discussion within myself. Because the truth is, I want the queso. That's the truth, right? Are you with me? Yes. So when it comes to physical fitness, I am a hypocrite because I'm not doing what I need to do and I don't want to, right? I don't want to. That is just, now the Lord can turn me around. There can be a radical change. I am open to this, I think, but not really. That's what a hypocrite is. A hypocrite is somebody who wants the result, but is not willing to live the life. Let's think about it in our Christian terms, right? I want the result. I want to go to heaven. I want to be forgiven. I want to know the Holy Spirit in real time. I want to feel the presence of God in my life. I want to love my neighbor as much as I love myself, if not more. And I want to love Jesus with the same. That is what I want. Well, Jesus asks us every day, doesn't he? If that is what you want, are you willing to commit to the life? And that's where we've got to think about some of the answers that we just gave. Because if we want the life, there's something within us that needs to change. If in the last 12 months you've had dinner at your home or apartment and the only people around the table have been those who are your family, you need to open up, right? You need to open up. Share who you are with your neighbors. You know what a great way I have found to get to know your neighbors is? Go knock on their door. Yeah, just go knock. I've suggested before, I'll say, bring ice cream if you're really worried about it. Nobody is opposed to ice cream, really, except the spin class instructor, and she or he probably doesn't live next door to you, right? Okay. We open up. Maybe it is something to think. But again, we let the Holy Spirit lead us. What kind of protects us from being this hypocrisy? And one answer to that, I think, is just being humble. In the sense that we know we don't have all the answers. We have to be open to God doing the new thing in us. That's part of it. But we also have to let the Holy Spirit lead us. And that when we have the experiences that we're seeking for, this intense connection to God that we just love day in and day out, we have to let it take us someplace. Because there's something that Jesus has in mind. I actually think at First Methodist Houston, we got a taste of this last week. Last week at First Methodist Houston, we baptized 17 people for the first time. It was amazing. I had the audacity to set up a 4-foot wading pool bought at a Walmart outside this space, which didn't exactly fit with the decor, did it? It did it. And we had people come wanting to be immersed, and that's great. And we had some people who made a spur of the moment. So there was a couple of people, one woman in particular who's coming in. She's in her Sunday finest and jewelry and everything. She's like, I'm ready. And so we did. And it was awesome, you know, coming out of the water. We had a great day. And, you know, I'll just kind of, if you've been here a while, if you're visiting, just kind of zone out for a second. But if you've been here for a while, I've been here a little over 2 years. Would you have told me that 2 years from now we would be baptizing 17 people on the same day at First Methodist Houston? On the same day. You know what's even more amazing about it? It was all kinds of people. We baptized a little baby, you know, in this service, one of the heaviest babies I have ever held in my life. This thing is a Viking chunk, is what he is. Oh. We baptize people in their 70s. And I was going home. You know how many articles I've read that say nobody or people are so unlikely to make a decision of faith when they get older? Yet in this sanctuary right there, we had 2 people come forward, a little older than most, to say yes to Jesus and to be baptized for the first time. Don't tell me what the Holy Spirit can do, because look at what's happening, and it's happening at First Methodist Houston. We had people of all sorts of races. Brought together under the love of Jesus, saying yes to him. It's awesome. And so I was on cloud 9 or cloud 10. I found a cloud I didn't even know, you know, as I went home yesterday, just saying, thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing at First Methodist Houston. Because like our title, and this is sort of what our culture is wrestling with right now, we want the church, especially the church, to be the real deal. In the sense that we want a powerful experience of Jesus. We want to see the stories of forgiveness. We want to feel his presence and watch our brothers and sisters make decisions, because that encourages us as well. And it's so exciting to me to see that just starting to really coalesce in such a great way through the ministries that we do here. And it's going to continue. So I mentioned in this in the announcements that, you know, Deborah and I are going to start this fall, starting in September, a small group for non-believers. And what I want to know, and where I need your help, and what I want you to pray about is, who needs to be in it? Who is it that you know that needs an invitation? And there are times when it's appropriate, maybe you're that person, to say, you know what, my pastor is kind of goofy, but he's doing this small group thing for non-believers. Maybe that'd be for you. Maybe it's better for me to do it, in the sense that if you send me the name and the contact information, I will reach out to you and say, what's the story? Tell me a little background, and then I will make the call. I've had some people say no over the years, but honestly, the vast majority have said yes. And the reason why, I think, is because they haven't had a place to really talk about the questions that matter most to them until they got that invitation. And what Deborah and I have found is that small group of non-believers becomes a conversation about what has mattered to them, in some cases, for decades. And now we have a chance, finally, to talk. The other thing I find is that in relation to our fake news title, there's a lot of bad information about Jesus out there. I'm always amazed, because I'll ask them, I say, tell me what you know about Jesus. And 99% of what comes out of their mouth is really false. Jesus said this. Jesus did that. No, he didn't. He didn't. And so it's a chance to kind of put Jesus maybe in a more realistic portrayal, because what people think they know about Jesus isn't always the case. So again, if you would, just go to our website. You can email me. But Deborah and I are ready to start extending invitations now. The agenda to the small group is their questions, whatever they are. And then in return, I ask that we read together the gospel according to Mark, because it's the shortest, and I think they can make it through. So who is it? Who is it that needs to be a part? And if you find yourself struggling, you say, I don't know anybody who's not a Christian. Maybe you've just heard your evangelical challenge that Jesus is speaking to you. We all want a faith that's the real deal. We don't want to be what Jesus describes as the hypocrite. And the good news is, we don't have to. If we open ourselves up, if we let the Holy Spirit flow, if we keep a little bit of humility about what we are so God can do the new thing in us, then we can be amazed at how powerful this faith is and just how strong the love of Christ is for us, that he wants to do so much through you and me.